watching We The People. I'm Rishika Barua. Princess Kate Middleton's recent diagnosis has once again put the focus back on cancer cases rising in young adults, not just in India, but globally. Data shows that not only is cancer on the rise, but it's also rapidly rising in younger people, which wasn't believed to be the story at least a couple of years ago. A study that was published last year has essentially documented an 80% rise in cancer cases in people under 50 in the last 30 years. This is an extensive study that was published that examined 29 different types of cancer in over 200 countries. The World Health Organization says cancer is the leading cause of deaths globally, killing almost 10 million people, documented in 2020 alone, with breast cancer, lung cancer and colorectal cancer being the most common globally. As far as India is concerned, over 14 lakh cases diagnosed in 2022. We don't have data for 2023 yet. This is expected to rise to over 15 lakh cases a year by 2025. However, I must also point out here that 32 lakh people are also alive within 5 years of their cancer diagnosis. However, global projections for the disease are grim. WHO is projecting as much as a 77% rise in cancer cases by 2050. But cancer, ladies and gentlemen, is not a data story. Cancer is a human story. And today on We The People, we will tell you the cancer story, not to alarm you, but we hope to raise awareness, should it, God forbid, come knocking closer to home. Because like I said, this is a conversation that we all need to have. It is a privilege. With me in the studio, I have Mr. Jitendra Mani. He's an IPS officer who lost his wife. She battled cancer very bravely for 3 years. We also have three very brave cancer survivors. I've been warned to call them warriors, so I'm going to do that. Rohini Kullar, Gina Scholey and Anchal Sharma. Thank you very much for being with us. They will tell you how they've battled the disease. We're also joined by some top doctors in India today to answer your questions. Professor Sailesh Shrikhande of the Tata Memorial Hospital is with us. Dr. Lavlina Nadar, a leading gynecologist in the national capital, and Dr. Asit Arora, a surgical oncologist specialist from the Max Hospitals, will also be joining us. Thank you all very much. But I want to begin this story by talking to Anchal. Anchal is no ordinary person. She was diagnosed with cancer when you were 32 years old, right? Yeah. So like I said, dispelling the myth that this is an old people's problem. Tell us your story, Anchal.
So when I was diagnosed, that time I was not aware of what is cancer exactly, because none of in my family diagnosed before. Yes. When I found a lump in my breast, it's the size of peanut, right? Mm. But I was misguided by people, and it reached to from initial stage to the third stage. Mm. And I got to know in 2017 that I was finally diagnosed with advanced stage cancer. But for me, it's difficult because I couldn't share that news with my family because I was celebrating my birthday and preparing for my brother's wedding. So it is actually very difficult. And that is actually a myth. There is no age. I was diagnosed at 32, but I know girls who are diagnosed at 23 also. Mm. So there are lots of people who diagnose in the early stages, ages. So age is a myth for sure. And education is very important for this, because most of the people don't know about the symptoms, you know, about self-examination, which is more important for any young woman to do 5 or 2 minutes, you know, examination to get to know if there is anything suspicious in their body.
You also work with cancer survivors. You work with underprivileged children who have cancer. Tell us a little bit about what people need to know about the disease in younger people.
See, this disease is all about lifestyle nowadays. Abhi wo hereditary wala jo hai, wo sab khatam ho gaya, that my mother had, my grandmother had. That's why, you know, I also have chances to have cancer. But it's not that now. Now it's a lifestyle disease. People compromise a lot with their sleeping, with their eating, with their exercising model. So I believe first we need to back to the basics, you know. Mm-hmm. Back to the basics, eat simple, follow the simple route, sleep on time, eat on time. Mm-hmm. So this is more important. And now talk about the underprivileged people. I have seen lots of people, you know, losing their life because they are not have enough information. They don't have proper treatment. They are financially going through a lot. So all I'm saying, if there is a proper call center or a system where, because there is a policy in government, there's a lots of policies where state funds are there.
So, So you're saying that awareness about the kind of care and facilities that are available is also scarce, and it's important that people have access to that. You know, you're here with us in the flesh and blood and telling us your story, and I thank you for that. But, you know, not every ending is like Achal's. There are people who lose the battle to cancer. The statistics have shown that. And Mr. Mani is with us. He's a serving IPS officer. It's very nice of you, sir, ki aap hamare saath aaye studio mein. You lost your wife to cancer. I understand that it's very difficult for you to talk about it, but I appreciate you being. Kya sabse badi seekh hai aap aaj is manch pe baithe hain, viewers ko kya bolenge?
Ki main yahi kehna chahunga ki jo detection hai wo agar early hota hai, that is the main safeguard. Agar hum ye time se agar jaan jate hain to uska ilaaj hum kara sakte hain, kyunki jitna hum delay hote hain, and again the what is the part, agar hum vital part mein is cheez ko safar karte hain to wahan pe aapke fatal hone ke chance zyada hote hain. Then again treatment. तो यही कहना चाहेंगे, जो आजकल लाइफस्टाइल डिसीज हैं, जैसे हम पैक्ड फूड खा रहे हैं, हमारे पास मोबाइल हैं, तमाम ऐसी चीज़ें हैं, तमाम कॉज हैं, उनसे जितना भी हम बच सकते हैं, हम ये है कि हम बिल्कुल अलग तो नहीं हो सकते, बट यस वी कैन सेव आवर सेल्फ. और अगर हम कोशिश करें तो इन चीज़ों से दूर रह सकते हैं. और
आपकी वाइफ का कैंसर लेट डिटेक्ट हुआ था?
जी मैम, उनको ब्रेस्ट कैंसर डिटेक्ट हुआ था, थोड़ा डिले था, बट आफ्टर दैट ब्रेन में चला गया था. इट वॉज लेफ्ट मेनिंजियल कार्सिनोमा, और ब्रेन की जो वो एक कवर होती है उसमें चला गया था, एंड दैट इज अबाउट टू इनक्यूरेबल.
Well, thank you for being here and sharing your story. We really appreciate it. Like I said, this is a disease that is debilitating, not just for the person who's going through it, but I think it's debilitating for families at large. And thank you for being here. I want to ask you, Ms. Kohli, you were diagnosed with cancer in your early 40s, and you had a 10-year-old son. How did you navigate this as a young mother?
So, actually, I did not tell him that his dad, you know, broke this news to him. Whenever cancer happens, it doesn't happen to one person. It is basically the whole family, you know, is disturbed with this news. And similarly, in my family, you know, everybody was very worried and shocked. And I never knew that my son can take that as strong, you know, as he did. So he was there with me, and I thought maybe he's not even worried that I have cancer. But then I think post my surgery, he wrote a letter to me where, you know, he mentioned all my chemo dates and everything, that, you know, mom went through that, went through this. That is when I got to know, oh, that he was, you know, so much aware of what is happening to me. So as you know, Anchal said, it's about awareness. When I got to know about cancer, I didn't know anything about cancer because I don't have a family history, nothing at all. The only cancer, you know, that I've seen is in the Bollywood, you know, movies where you have that melancholy music and then, you know, the person is going to die. But I think Bollywood should also start to make such movies where, you know, people come out as a fighter.
It's time to break the stereotypes. Yeah, exactly. You raised a very important point when you and I were talking earlier about the fact that, you know, it's a mental battle, but it's also a financial battle, and you can't be mentally at ease if you don't have the finances to battle it.
Yes, and that is a message, you know, I would want to give to everyone. Please have yourself, you know, insured. A health insurance is a must, and it is not a tick in the box that you get a 3-4 lakh sum insured. You should have a 30, 40, 50 lakhs sum insured, because these critical illnesses, they are like expensive. So right. You have to be financially stable, mentally stable, and when people around you say that, you have to be positive throughout the treatment. So if you're financially draining out, you will never be able to stay positive.
So good learning, I think, from someone who's battled the disease and survived it, that, you know, you have to also have the financial wherewithal, or organize yourselves better, have insurance, good insurance that will help you in this time. But it's Rohini, you said to me very interesting that it's as much a mental battle as it is a physical one. If you've managed the mental battle, the physicality of it becomes easier. Is that true?
I think very, very true. And I think in my case, it really didn't matter to me. COVID was anyway rampant. Everywhere there was COVID. I think the biggest fortunate part was that the three doctors I spoke to, all of them said, don't wait, have your treatment right away. So that was taken care of. I remember a key statement that my daughter made. She's older now. She's now 28. She said, Mom, you've got it. Let's deal with it. And that was it. Hmm. In fact, we used to joke about things. The children used to have a fight amongst themselves as to who would come with me for chemotherapy because they wanted to eat the food that was being served there. They said, Max Hospital has the best pav bhaji. So there would be an argument there. Yeah. When I went for my PET scan, they said, oh, mom is going to come back looking like a Smurf. For those of you who don't know, Smurfs actually got injected with nuclei material and became blue. So when I came back home, she said, mom, don't come close to me. You're active.
But I think that also in a certain sense highlights the how important it is to have a support system. And you're a part of many support groups. So there is a lot that is happening in terms of, while of course there's a lot of facilities available for better diagnostics as we've talked about. There's also a lot of help that is available in terms of just hand holding or solidarity, isn't there?
Yeah, which is why I think in all hospitals, because of the rising number of cases, if patients get to speak to patients who have survived the so-called stigma, the so-called disease, it just gives them a further assurance than a doctor can.
Right.
The doctor will, of course, give them medical inputs.
Yes.
But speaking to a survivor, I think, really puts them at peace.
Okay. Well, you've heard from the survivors, the warriors. You've also heard from Mr. Mani. I now want to take the conversation forward with doctors, because I think it's really important that we dispel some of the myths, some of the notions surrounding cancer. And like I said, we're joined by some of the top doctors from across the country. Dr. Lavlina, if I can begin by asking you, as a gynecologist, we've just heard from the women. So I want to begin by asking you, how important is it for women to be aware that, you know, a dreadful disease like cancer or any other can actually come knocking now much earlier?
Yes.
It's not like you have to be quote unquote careful after you're 50 or 60. It can happen a lot earlier.
You are right, Rishika. We are seeing that cancer is striking at a lot younger age, and the cancers which happen at a younger age are more aggressive and they are fast growing. So it is very important that every woman should be aware of all these cancers. And breast cancer is the most common cancer in India. And as a gynecologist, I see cervical cancer, that is mouth of the uterus, that is the cervix, that is the second, and followed by ovarian cancers and other cancers. So as one of the survivors said, breast awareness is very important. And yes, self-breast examination goes a long way, in knowing whether you are okay. One can look at the size and shape of
yes.
the breast, look for any lumps, any thickening, any nipple discharge, or anything unusual, one should go to a doctor.
Right.
And the doctor should be doing a clinical breast examination to find any positive things.
Okay.
And of course, because it is striking at a younger age, so now the breast screening starts at 30 years.
Right.
And ultrasound is done from 30 years to 40 years. But mammography is the best tool starting at 40 years till 79 years. Or till the health permits.
Okay.
But in case there's a family history, your mother or sister has had breast cancer, especially in a premenopausal phase. So the age at which they got, the screening has to start 10 years
before.
Earlier. So, and this is the latest guideline by Radiological Society of North America and Breast Cancer Society of India.
Okay. So I think this is very important information, hopefully, that viewers can use while you're hearing of, you know, breast cancer being the most common. There are tools that are available to people like you and me, which is essentially early screening and awareness. And Dr. Nader has, I think, dispelled a lot of that information here. Dr. Srikhande, if I can come to you, you've been with us on several shows as we've talked about cancer and cancer picking up early on. I want to ask you, we don't want to sound alarmist. When we put out all of these statistics, we don't want this to be alarming. We want it to be, we want to make people aware. How bad is the situation? How worried should we all be? Is there really need for an alarm bell, so to speak?
Yeah, I think there is a need for an alarm bell.
Okay.
But the alarm bell doesn't mean that one needs to be in a state of panic or in warlike preparation. I think the message should be that we should not feel that once we have money and once we are a growing economy, we can buy health. I think basics of prevention, if we can follow and just look after ourselves reasonably well, then cancers, even in the younger age group or in any age group, is still an uncommon event if I look at the denominator, that is the world's population.
Right.
What we know is the population that is at risk. And the risk starts coming in when you allow your lifestyle to get out of control and you know the usual reasons, obesity, lack of exercise, processed foods, late breastfeeding, foods which are constipating, a predominantly non-vegetarian diet. I underline the word predominantly. I also enjoy a non-vegetarian diet as well. But a balanced diet is the message which is important and regular exercise. And the last thing I would say is that if you get any symptoms of any kind, which in 15 days to 3 weeks are not settling down with standard medication, you need to think of seeing a specialist rather than just sticking with your general practitioner. I think if you can do these things, you need not panic, and then we can treat things if and when we unfortunately diagnose a cancer at whatever stage, young age or even in the older age.
You know, I'll ask you this and then I'll take the same question to Dr. Asit as well. Are you anecdotally, since you're dealing with cancer patients on a daily basis, are you anecdotally seeing a larger number of cases rising in younger adults? Is that really a phenomenon?
Yeah, this is a clear phenomenon, not just anecdotally. This is something which I have been documenting and I've got data published in literature when it comes to rectal cancer, when it comes to colon cancer, when it comes to pancreas cancer. So many of these cancers, we are clearly seeing them earlier. Now, mind you, India's life expectancy is 69 years or so. And if a child survives the first 5 years of his or her life, the child lives for 75 years. So Indians getting cancer in their 50s is not to be termed as young cancers. That's India's life expectancy.
Okay.
But yes, we get to see a large number of cancers, even in patients who are less than 40. And we see this and we clearly know this is lifestyle related, clearly. And preventable, largely.
So clearly lifestyle related and clearly preventable. Dr. Asit Arora, I think
absolutely,
the most commonly asked question is cancer kyun hota hai? Why does cancer happen? And everywhere you read, people say there's no known reason. Dr. Srikhande is pegged it to lifestyle, as most doctors do for most things, which is probably true. But I want to ask you again, as someone who's in a cancer OPD 24/7, what are you seeing, doctor, happen? What are the most common cases and what is the alarming age group, so to speak, that you're seeing?
So, Rishika, see, like Sailesh and just pointed out, one of the most important causes why we are seeing this increase in the rate of cancer is the way our lifestyle have deteriorated in last couple of decades, right? We are moving less and less and we are eating more processed food. We are the incidence of smoking and alcohol is increasing. So all of this is leading to this increased rise of cancer as a whole. And this is why we are getting cancer in young as well. So see, we haven't solved this puzzle completely as yet. We do come across in our OPDs patients who will be in prime of their health. They will be 35, 36, doing all the good things and still they'll get cancer. I mean, those patients, we still get flummox as to why somebody gets cancer at this age without having any risk factor.
Right.
So those cancers can be, you know, purely genetically linked cancers. But what you have to understand here is that as an individual, what is your responsibility and what you can do in an individual capacity?
Right.
That is to lead a healthy lifestyle. And like Sailesh said, 50% of all cancers are preventable cancers. Mind you, we're talking about the number which are in millions. And if you take 50% of those millions, there'll still be many millions which can be prevented. And the basic three things that we need to do here is, you know, eat in moderation and eat as natural as possible.
Yes.
Move around as much as possible. Be physically active. Yes. Do not indulge into sedentary lifestyle.
I want to ask you a very specific question because you specialize in GI cancers. Is this a new trend that we're seeing? Because you've emphasized on diet a lot. Is GI cancers new? Because we've been talking about breast cancer. We talk about lung cancer linked to environmental factors. We also talk about prostate cancer as one of the most common cancers. But there is a sudden upsurge in GI cancer cases, isn't it? And is that purely linked to diet?
It is strongly linked to that. Yes, you are absolutely right there. you know, GI cancers are one of the cancers which have risen most in past few years.
Yes.
And the number of young cancers that we're seeing, less than 50s, less than 40s, in them also the rise of cancer cases in, you know, colorectal cancers and stomach cancers and pancreatic cancers is unfortunately the highest.
Yes.
And why so? Because they are the cancers which are more closely linked to what you eat.
Okay.
You know, it's the digestive system which takes the brunt of what you eat mostly, right?
Right.
So, yes, you're absolutely right there.
So, symptoms, like I think Dr. Sailesh said, very important. If you have symptoms of anything in any part of your body that have lasted longer than 15 days and meds aren't working, it's time that you see a specialist and perhaps think about getting yourself further examined. We're not sounding alarmist here, but we do want to raise awareness. There's a young member of the audience who has a question. Go ahead.
Ma'am, thank you. My name is Amrinder. My question is to Dr. Asit regarding to aspartame. Given the concerning increase in cancer cases in Indian youth, with estimating rise in 11.6 lakh in 2013 to 14.61 lakh in 2022, making a 25% increase, coupled with classification of aspartame, which is possibly a carcinogen to human, what measures is government implementing to mitigate the cancer risk associated with common products containing aspartame, especially tabletop sweeteners?
I think there are several products here which are, you know, which people have questions over. Dr. Asit, that question is specifically for you. Would you like to answer it?
See, I mean, the rule of thumb here is that you have to eat as natural as possible. You know, why are you eating aspartame? Somebody would say you use artificial sweetener to cut down the risk, cut down on your sugar intake, right?
Hmm.
But we know that, I mean, these chemicals are not something which is natural to your body, and they're not going to be absolutely safe for you.
Right.
So idea is to eat in moderation and eat as natural as possible, right? That's the rule of the thumb. I mean, you can forget about everything else. Try to cut down on processed food as much as possible.
Okay.
That is the only rule of thumb that I would say that you have to follow.
I'm going to come back to Dr. Nadir and Dr. Sailesh with two very basic questions I think that a lot of viewers have. If you've been watching this broadcast, I think two basic questions come to mind. They surely come to my mind. Who should get tested specifically for cancer and when? Dr. Sailesh, to you first.
Yeah, I think you don't need to specifically test yourself only for cancer and get paranoid about it.
Okay.
Unless there is a family history. I must tell you that even now, 10% of cancers are hereditary, and this is not related to the environment that we blame or to the lifestyle that we blame.
Right.
These are inherently genetic challenges.
Okay.
So if you are having a family history of colon cancer, breast cancer, multiple endocrine neoplasia like thyroid cancer, parathyroid issues, I think those patients need to be screened, and at least they should go and see a genetic specialist.
Yes.
And the entire family tree and the structure needs to be identified, and then identify whether people have a risk factor or not. They need to be investigated. Now, otherwise, only through a cancer perspective, I think after you cross the age of 40, it's worthwhile to just do a standard blood profile, nothing exotic, not an extensive executive health checkups, but a standard blood profile to know that your basic systems in the body, the liver, sugar, kidney, lipid profile, hemoglobin, platelets, your
basics.
Counts. If they are broadly okay and you are asymptomatic, you don't need to get onto the journey of becoming a neurotic and every now and then checking for cancer and hunting for cancer.
I think that's very important because while we raise the alarm and while we do these shows, it's also very important to understand there's no need to get paranoid.
Yeah.
Dr. Nadir, very specifically, I have 30 seconds on the show. Anything specific for women? I know you said at the very outset that you have to start early, etc. But anything specific
for women, it is very, very important for cervical cancer. Because one of the causes of cervical cancer is human papillomavirus, which is sexually transmitted. And the good news is that it is preventable.
Right.
So we have, like, the regular screening is very important. We have to do a pap smear in which we are taking cells from the cervix and we are looking for abnormal cells and human papillomavirus.
Okay.
And we have to do primary HPV testing every 5 years. If it is not available, it has to be combined with pap smear every 5 years. If that is not done, then every 3 years, at least a pap smear should be done.
Right.
And now, since it is preventable, so we have a vaccine against human papillomavirus.
Yes.
So 9 to 15 years, all girls need to be vaccinated. There are 2 doses of HPV vaccination.
Right.
And after 15 years, till 45, every woman should take 3 doses of HPV vaccine.
Okay.
So it is very,
so
very, very important.
Whatever is preventable, and in this case, there's a cervical cancer vaccine out there that Dr. Nathers explained about, at least those need to be taken. We've tried our level best to give you a broader sense of the cancer epidemic, to make sense of it. You've heard from the people who valiantly fought it and how they fought it. So those are some real life hacks on how to navigate this space. And you've heard from top experts in the country who, I think, dispelled a lot of myths and very balanced, in a very balanced way, tried to put this entire cancer story in perspective. I really hope this broadcast has been useful if you've tuned in. Thanks very much for watching. That's all the time we have on this edition of Meet the People.